May the Lord help us to commence with singing the first 6 verses of hymn 122. Join all the glorious names of wisdom, love and power that ever mortals knew, that angels ever bore. All are too mean to speak his worth, too mean to set my Saviour forth. 122 verses 1 to 6.
Thank you. Shall we read this evening from the Word of God in the Gospel by John at chapter 9, the ninth chapter in the Gospel according to John. And Jesus passed by, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam, and wash. And I went, and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, "He is of age, ask him." Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Then said they to him again, "What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples?" Then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." The man answered and said unto them, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see.' Therefore your sin remaineth." May the Lord bless to us that portion of his word, and help us now together to pray. Let us pray. O Lord, the God of all grace, remember us here gathered together this evening with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people, and do visit us with thy salvation. We come, O Lord, into this house sanctified by thy presence for many generations. We do thank thee to believe that this is none other but the house of God and the very gate of heaven. And we do pray this evening we may have a renewal of conviction in our souls that the Lord is in this place. and that he condescends to speak to the hearts of his people. O Lord, we pray, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead us. We are favoured with the Holy Bible. We're thankful for the testimony upon which we can trust and rest to a great degree. Lord, it is written, and oh, it is written by the finger of God to be confirmed in all things, even to a never-ending eternity. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt solemnize our minds as we come to read thy holy word and sanctify our hearts through the truth of it. And Lord, we've been reading of one who was born blind. And oh, how wondrously thou didst work and put clay on his eyes and brought him to see. And Lord, we do pray this evening that thou wilt work among us, among those blind eyes that may well be present in the congregation here. And may our prayer be, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We ask, O Lord, that thou wilt be with thy people, continually joining together in the professed worship of thy holy name. And we do ask that in this place there may be recurring blessings by thy presence and thy Holy Spirit accompanying with divine power the word that shall be spoken. We do commend to thy special care in these dark and difficult days the labours of thy servants, those who thou hast prepared and sent forth to preach the word. O Lord, we pray, go on to be gracious through the preached gospel, for it hath pleased thee, even by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. Oh, that quickening power may be accompanying the proclamation of thy word, that sinners, blind and ignorant of the things of God, may be brought into a saving knowledge of thy great salvation, that they may see the perfection of eternal purposes in the hand of Almighty God, bringing from the terrible condition into which we have fallen by our sins to the saving knowledge and promise of everlasting life that is in through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would be thankful that we have the doctrine of salvation through such a worthy person as the Son of God. Lord, there can be no shaky presentation. Surely the whole gospel speaks of the certainties of divine wisdom and power and effect. And oh, we do pray that working through thy word and as thou shalt anoint and help thy servants, that the work of God may be accomplished among the friends that are gathered together to hear. And we do pray that this congregation may be abundantly favoured with the miracles of heaven in the opening of the eyes of the blind, the unstopping of those deaf ears, and the openings of the heart to the truth, as with Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. We come together this evening conscious of need circumstantially, and we do realize, Lord, there are hard cases that need thy help. We do commend our young friend Andrew to thee at this time of life's experience, and pray that this may be for his spiritual good and profit. I was brought low and he helped me. Oh, give that measure of faith to glorify thy name as the good physician who has the cure of every sickness. And we bless thee for the history of Jesus Christ when here upon earth, that he went about doing good, that he dealt with all the various diseases which afflicted thy dear people, and he wrought miraculous healings and deliverances, even, Lord, to raise the dead. And we do pray that we may have that confidence in his sufficiency, so to minister to this hard case which is now upon our hearts, that we may see present day presentation of deliverance, as is the united desires of many praying souls here together this evening. We sing sometimes the force of their united cries, no power can long withstand. Lord, undertake and overrule. Grant comfort to those in anxiety, and may they find the unbosoming of their cares into the ear of the Almighty, a sense of relief, a sense of impending deliverance, if it be thy will, that, Lord, it may be an experience of priceless blessing through the years that are to come, as their minds shall be taken of the low places of Christian experience, and how the Lord has heard and helped and delivered, if it can be thy will. Lord, we ask thee to look upon the young people. Again, we pray with a deep concern and real affection for their welfare in these difficult days when so much, it seems, to be brought to them that speaks of Antichrist, speaks of a contrary attitude to the pure gospel of our God and his all-sufficient grace. Oh, to root early our young people in a personal knowledge of the truth, if it can please thee, that those things that are brought to bear upon their minds from evil quarters may be rejected, may be brought to nothing, as faith in their hearts to the truth may lay hold and continue. And truly, Lord, as it is written, endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We pray they may be graciously and humbly resolved to follow on in those ways that are despised by the multitude, yet of priceless value to the people of God. Do, Lord, help those that have responsibility toward the young. May the influence of home life, family life, and the influence of the church on the Sabbath day, the teaching that proceeds through the various channels, may it all be overruled as a means of defence against the attacks of the enemy. Lord, we all need Thee to strengthen us and help us to wrestle against the powers of darkness. And we pray that we may prove the Lord is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in times of trouble. We do seek, O Lord, for those that are older in years, that patience and help to continue. Oh, what a mercy to endure to the end. What a mercy, O Lord, to realize the Lord is Himself, is our foundation, the rock upon which we stand. Lord, reassure us again and again, we pray, that having begun a good work in us, Thou wilt perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And that day which in anticipation is very, very difficult to embrace. Oh, that we may be so enlightened of Thy Spirit to lay hold on eternal life and realize that the last day upon earth is the best day upon earth for Thy redeemed people, as Thou dost perfect Thy work concerning them and bid them come to Thee in glory forever and forever. When we think of ourselves, as we know ourselves to be poor, sinful creatures, oh, what a mercy that by the goodness and grace of God there is a cleansing through the precious blood of Christ from every stain of sin, and a presentation as faultless before the throne of God for ever and for ever. We pray that any who may be in difficulties in temporal things may be helped to roll their burden upon Thee. Lord, some in the nation at the present, and we believe among other nations too, are confronted by a question relative to the sufficiency of temporal things to maintain the varying commitments of home and of family. And we do ask that, Lord, that confidence may be wrought within them to say, He that hath made my heaven secure will here all good provide. While Christ is rich, I can't be poor. What can I want beside? We would offer to Thee thanksgiving for hitherto mercies. Some of us can look back over many years and would acknowledge the faithfulness of God in the maintenance of our temporal circumstance. Thou hast brought us through, supplied our every need. Thou hast given to us, oh, so much more than ever we anticipated. Thou hast indeed, Lord, been generous to us, and we would give Thee all the praise. Now, Lord, we offer thanks to Thee for our national situation comparatively. As we hear from various parts of the earth, the poverty and the bondage and darkness that hangs over multitudes of people, what a mercy to be in a land wherein a goodly measure of liberty is to be enjoyed in the exercise of Christianity. And oh, we do pray that Thou wilt mercifully maintain that spirit in our nation. Lord, save us from falling into bondage to any ulterior consideration. We pray, raise up the standard yet again in our hearts that shall declare to the world that we are a Christian nation. We ask Thee to look upon our Queen and those that are in authority over us, lead and guide them and keep them and deliver them as is good for the nation. We ask, O Lord, that thy church in the nation may be strengthened in testimony of the benefit of Christian practice as well as Christian profession. Oh, what a mercy to be regulated by the principles of godliness, the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. If it can please thee, multiply thy favour to our land and bless us with that measure of wisdom and grace, that we may set before the nations of the earth a pattern which was true of our national influence in generations that are past. Save us from our enemies, we beseech thee, O Lord. Help us now, we turn to thee once more and ask for wisdom and guidance in those things that shall be spoken, and bless every part of the service to the honour and glory of thy name. And what a mercy if it shall be said, and he went on his way rejoicing. This must essentially be the fruit of thine own work within us and among us. We pray for it, unworthy as we are, asking thee to come over the mountains and hills of our guilt and sin and leave a blessing behind thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 122, commencing at verse 7. To this dear surety's hand will I commit my cause. He answers and fulfills his Father's broken laws. Behold, my soul at freedom set, my surety paid the dreadful debt. 122, commencing at verse 7.
ask you to turn again to the portion of scripture that we considered this morning in the second book of Kings, in the chapter 6. The second book of Kings, in chapter 6. And this morning we considered the latter part of verse 6, and the iron did swim. Now, considering the teaching in this chapter, I ask you to come down to verse 17 this evening, and I will speak from that verse and its context, as the Lord may help me. Verse 17 in the 6th chapter of the 2nd book of Kings. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The situation was that the king of Syria was determined to end the existence of Elisha, whom he was blaming to be the cause of much information reaching the armies of Israel, and that the Syrians were losing ground. And there was that in this chapter as we read it this morning. The king was informed by those round about him that the words that the king of Syria spoke were heard by Elisha, who was given wisdom to hear what he spake in his bedchamber. That is, that the Lord was so present in the experience of Elisha, that though the king of Syria was attempting to overthrow the armies of Israel, nevertheless, information contrary to the success of the great army of the Syrians was brought home to the people of Israel through the instrumentality of Elisha the prophet. What a great man Elisha was, and how wonderfully the Lord used him in respect of the defense of his people. And when the servant, the man of God, was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. That's the city wherein Elisha was found. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What a wonderful history that is, of the greatness and goodness of God to his servant Elisha, when under such terrible and powerful pressure, the threatenings of annihilation, obviously, as the king of Syria was going to use the might of his army to surround the city and to terminate the life of Elisha as he thought. But God was Elisha's defense. And the young man that was with him was full of fear. Nevertheless, it was brought to pass that Elisha could say, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, my friends, when we think of the hosts of heaven, when we think of the almighty power of the Lord our God, surely, if so be, by his grace we're enabled to cast our cares upon him. The relative power, the conquering influence, is on our side, however weak we may feel to be in ourselves by any given standard that can be raised. A gracious God is a perfect defence. A gracious God is able to do more than we can ask or even think. And we get here a testimony in practical terms of Elisha and the young man that can be justly addressed, that fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Elisha, with an enlightened understanding in the things and ways of God, could say to that young man, with the circumstances so obviously from a military point of view in the favour of the Syrians, who had encompassed Dothan where they lived and seemed of such might and power as to be victorious in anticipation of what was immediately to take place. But we have that in the heart of this great man of God, Elisha. He says to the young man, fear not, fear not. If God's on our side, well then, we have nothing to fear. And my friends, that's a prevailing argument. If God is on our side, we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear in life, nothing to fear in death. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The victorious people on the face of the earth are the people of God, and God fortifies their understanding with many great and precious promises that are sealed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, if God be for us, who then can be against us? And what a mercy in these days when the powers of evil seemed so strong and threatening, still to find refuge and comfort in the fact that if God is on our side, the balance of power is always on our side. Well, now, I want particularly to address my remarks this evening relative to the opening of the eyes. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And he saw what was factual with a spiritual understanding, that is, that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. There was, as it were, the exercise of omnipotency in the form of a fire that surrounded the mountain where Elisha and his young men were found, and it wouldn't be visible with the natural eye, but it was very visible with that spiritual ability that God gave to the young man when his eyes were opened to see the truth, to see the side that was promised victory, as opposed to the apparent stronger side that appeared to have the advantage from a natural point of view, but nevertheless from a spiritual open eye was not the case. What a mercy, as we read in our New Testament lesson this evening, what a mercy to have our eye opened to the fact and reality of the truth as seen by the sight God gives to his people through his word and by sanctified experiences in their own pathway. They're brought to see the truth of the matter when fears are overthrown by a sense of the all-sufficiency of God to give the victory to whom he has chosen to be more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of their salvation. Now open his eyes that he may see. What a miracle it is when we think of how we are born in the spiritual context. Blind people, into the world we come with a blindness from the spiritual point of view that is common to the fallen race of Adam. And my friends, we can look back, many of us, to the earlier days of life when things that were advanced to us through the truth of God's word, and especially by the influence of those older in years and the ministry of the gospel that was exercised before us, I say, we didn't understand really what was presented to us, because we were blind to the things of God. We were blind to the fact that the Lord God is in heaven, who exercises powers upon earth that are far stronger and effectual than any inferior power whatsoever. Even the power of evil, mighty as that is, must give way to the superior power and influence of the Almighty. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord lifts up a standard against him. Well, now, young man, Elisha says, open the eyes of the young man. And those men, lads and girls that are here this evening with us, oh, we would say that our chief desire for you is that the Lord will open your eyes spiritually, give you an understanding of spiritual things. And it's a great blessing to fear the Lord from the days of our youth. It's a great blessing to be able to take in and understand in some humble measure the teaching of Scripture, the Scriptures of truth, those things that God ever will confirm by his words and his ways for the good and well-being of his people. And my friends, we say, Lord, open his eyes, open their eyes. And that there never was a day when more stress and emphasis was placed on the enlightening of the mind. But my friends, we're talking about the enlightening of the spirit, the heart of young people to the truth of God's holy word, that the Bible is the final testimony that experience ultimately confirms without any contradiction whatsoever. The word of the Lord shall stand forever. No person on the face of the earth will ever prove a syllable of Holy Scripture to be wrong. God's ways are such that the word that he has given shall never, never be broken. And that applies as much to those that live and die in blindness as it does to those who, by the grace of God, are brought out of that darkness and ignorance and blindness in spiritual things and are brought experimentally to know the truth and to love the truth and to believe the truth, whatever may stand contrary to its teaching. Open the young man's eyes. You may not appreciate the great concern of godly parents relative to the opening of the eyes of their children. It was a prayer effectual in the heart of Elisha relative to this young man that was with him at this particular time. And my friends, the Lord that worked in that heart and circumstance all those years ago is the same Lord today as yesterday, and he can open the eyes of young people to the truth of his word. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked by nature, and we carry on with that blindness relative to our spiritual state and need, except as God in his rich mercy may open our eyes to the truth. What a mercy when we're young and tender in years to really understand the solemnity of the state which prevails as we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity in this present life. Born with a nature that is so infected with sin and its influences that in so many, many ways we're far off from the good way, far off from the profitable way, and far off from the final victory that is given to all who truly fear the Lord. Open the young man's eyes. Oh, what a mercy to know what it is to ask God to forgive our sins, to ask God to make us right in our spirit. Young people are not too young to understand and enter into this terrible condition of sin and iniquity that is ours by nature. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None doeth good, no, not one. And when that truth is born into our hearts when we're young, we begin to understand what a valuable thing the gospel is, what a wonderful fact that is presented to us in God's love toward his people. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever liveth and believeth in him shall never die. That doesn't mean to say they won't pass from time into eternity. Naturally speaking, death awaits all of us in due time, according to the will of God toward us. But, my friends, what a mercy it is that the love of God is so comprehensive in the experience of his people to make everything right for them, everything good for them, everything for their eternal advantage. And we, when our eyes are opened, we're brought to see the people of God are the excellent people, that they are the rich people, that they are those who have a relationship with God that secures them in that infinite security that's exemplified here in this history when the Lord was round about Elisha and the young man to save them from the more powerful threatenings that overhung them in the hatred of the king of Syria toward them. Who is he that can harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? What I'm striving to do this evening is to say to the young people, consider what is the best way, what is the right way, what will be most of all to your advantage. Oh, some of us can look back over life's way and realize that it was good for us to bear the yoke in our youth, that the Lord in his mercy gave us an understanding of spiritual realities, and we were brought into a concern regarding evil within us and the condemnation of God toward our sins and our transgressions. And we knew in some humble measure what it was to join the publican in the temple and smite upon our breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Open the young man's eyes. Open the young man's eyes. God was the sovereign protector of Elisha and his young man at that particular, and all the power and might of their adversary was in captivity to the deliverance which God was giving to them in the surrounding defense that we have here set before us in the text. And what a mercy, open the young man's eyes to see that this world and the things of it are not the most important things. There is a lawful ambition in the hearts of young people to get on in the world and to do their utmost to take advantage of means that are at their disposal. I would encourage young people, in so far as facilities are presented to them, to take advantage of education and to apply yourself seriously to your future in as regard to interests and employments under the sun. But my friends, that's only a very short part of our future. Life in this world is not of long duration. We tend, when we're young, to look at some older people and say, surely the road is almost an unending journey from the youthful days I am in to those days when grey hairs appear upon him and he begins to anticipate the dissolution of life in the presentation of his soul before God. But let me say, life is a vapor. Open the young man's eyes. Don't think that because you're young, you're going to live a long, long time. because we don't know what a day may bring forth. And when our eyes are truly open to the reality of things, we realise that none of us, naturally speaking, are protected with a sure protection. We're subject to dangers, we're subject to happenings, diseases take possession and take their toll. And I remember when I was a lad at school, there was a young man who was only a month older than I was, and at the age of 15, he was knocked off his cycle and died. And I remember what a warning that was to me in my own experience. What if that had been you that were knocked off the bicycle and had died? What would have been the future in eternity for you? And it led to serious thoughts and self-examination. And one would say that it was like the anointing of the eyes by the good Spirit of God, making us realise that serious thoughts regarding the well-being of our souls are very important, even in the days of our youth. And we go on through life, don't we? And we realise the speed with which time passes beneath our feet, and we realise that it's always prudent that we should have serious thoughts about death and eternity and our relationship with God, our Maker, and whether we have an interest in that great salvation that is set before us in the Word of God, and a great salvation that will be necessary to us in the afterworld if we are to spend time in glory with God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the spirits of just men made perfect. Open the eyes of the young man. And I believe if there are parents here this evening that fear God, and you are a child in that household, it is a great concern for your future well-being that the Lord may open your eyes to see the solemnity and need of spiritual exercise in these matters. Open the eyes of the young man. Open the eyes of the young man. And where the Lord opens the eyes, the vision is always present. Oh, as the Lord opens our eyes, we see things in a different perspective from what we once did, and from a different perspective to the common outlook of mankind. It makes us distinct and different. We've got standards that are essentially spiritual and Christian in their nature, because as the Lord opens our eyes, we see the wonder of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came from heaven to this world to make the salvation of sinners possible, who constitutes the door by which, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and saved from sin and its every consequence, save from everything that is contrary to pure and eternal happiness. Open the young man's eyes. What a wonderful thing it is, my friends, to have a spirit-wrought understanding of the true situation as it obtains in our personal experiences. There's not a person in this chapel this evening that doesn't need Christ. What a mercy to know that need, and for that need to create many a prayer that the Lord will have mercy, that he will make us wise unto salvation through grace that is in Christ Jesus, that gives to us in our innermost affections a love to the Lord, his word, his ways, his people, those things that he loves, made to love personally ourselves and seek to know more and more of the infinite value of this aspect of living in this world. Open the young man's eyes. My friends, there's nothing that can accomplish this short of the anointing with heavenly eye self of our eyes in a personal way and manner. The Lord may use means that appear to be contrary, as in the case of the young man who was born blind in the lesson that we read together this evening. And the Lord made clay and applied it to his eyes. You'd say, oh, the last thing to be of any advantage to a tender eyesight. The Lord in his wisdom has given so many things of a natural sense that are protective of our eyes. Eyelashes, what a wonderful thing is a true meditation of the wisdom of God in the care he exercises creatively to protect our tender sight. But my friends, what about spiritual sight? We need the Lord, as is here in the text before us, to open our eyes, to give us clear vision. And he sanctifies and uses some of the strange things of life. He uses the conviction of sin by his Spirit to open our eyes to the reality of need and the different values that are present in society generally. The rich people are not those people in the earth that have a wealth of possession. Many, many millionaires have proved abjectly poor when they've come to the end of life's journey. Being left to that blindness, their eyes blinded by the possessions of a temporal state here below, they've gone on to the end of and found that all that their possessions are of no value. And my friends, how much richer is the person whose eyes have been opened, who have been brought to seek for salvation through the Son of God, to plead with the Most High that their sins may be pardoned and their souls set free from condemnation justly presented. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is to know Jesus as our Saviour, to know that the Lord has paid the price of our redemption, that there is, as it were, a righteousness by which we are absolutely justified as before God, that our sins, the penalty of our sins, has been paid for us by the Redeemer who suffered, bled and died upon the cross of Calvary, who gave to the law all that the law required to silence it in regard to our condemnation, that we're free from the penalty of all our sins. Open the young man's eyes, choosing the better path, making in our hearts, as it were, a standard that time things are valuable because of the Lord's goodness and mercy. But the one thing needful that the Lord spoke to Mary and Martha, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary's eyes were opened. She valued the Lord Jesus Christ. She saw in him the Saviour, and for that reason she chose him above all things else beside. Open the young man's eyes. And he saw, and behold, the mountain full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. That was a wonderful security brought home to the young man as the Lord opened his eyes and he saw that God being for them, they were safe. But God not being their defense, they were exposed to the superior strength of the army of the king of Syria. Open the eyes of the young man. This is a prayer, isn't it? This is a prayer. We live in a day when there are very powerful enemies at work. There is much to infiltrate into the mind and spirit of people, fear. Sometimes as we go around the world among the general run of contacts, we hear expression of what's happening, what's going to be, where is it all leading, and people are becoming more and more fearful of the future, even in temporal things, without consideration of the more important spiritual aspect of being alive here upon the earth. But my friends, the promises of God are of such a nature that really the fears of the Lord's people have an antidote presented in Scripture which is wonderful. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a wonderful security is in the promises of God relative to the temporal necessities of life here below. Interpret that from the natural point of view and say everything we shall stand in need of in this present life, the Lord is able, according to his promise, to give a sufficient supply. And there are many witnesses. There have been manifold witnesses. Some of the old saints, when things were more difficult than the days through which we ourselves are passing, they proved how God could arise and provide. And various obituaries and accounts of the saints that we have in possession tell us how God came at some late time, but always in time, and supplied the pressing need. And the protection of the people of God. He shall give his angels charge over thee, who shall keep thee in all thy ways. Protection. Protection. Some, obviously, are not always to dwell in circumstances that are in harmony with their spiritual outlook. Sometimes the godly have to work in a contrary atmosphere, and sometimes persecution becomes isolating and you feel to be like a strange person in the place where you work or even the place where you live. But what a wonderful thing to know that the Lord is the sovereign protector of his people. He can defend his people from the persecutions and the terrifying possibilities that are sometimes presented by the tempter of souls relative to the future way. Oh, my friends, God is a God who's able to do more for us than we can ask or even think. I remember in the war years, not that I would boast in a minute, for a minute, of keeping my garments white when I was in military service for 4.5 years, but to live, as it were, in a contrary atmosphere was very isolating, very difficult. And I don't profess for a minute to suggest that I didn't slip and fall from time to time because of the antagonistic environment in which one was compelled to live. But what a mercy to have been brought through. What a mercy, as it were, even in some ways to have a reputation that called forth a persecuting attitude that was never suffered in its strength to do any real harm to us. And the Lord says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. And there's a protection. There's the Lord in all his resources as the Lord of hosts, able to supply the need and surround his people with the necessary care to their continuance. Open the young man's eyes. Open the young man's eyes. And he saw. When his eyes were opened, he saw. And obviously there was an immediate relief communicated by the Lord's servant to the young man relative to the security and safety of those that are on the Lord's side as opposed to those that are destitute of his watchful and powerful protection, provision, and care. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What a favored man was Elisha, a servant of God under the protection and provision of his heavenly master. He went about doing good, he went about pleading the word of God, both in the immediate and in the prophetic function which he was given to exercise. Oh, my friends, we read the history of Elisha, and we have other prophets also in the Old Testament who were true witnesses to the truth of God, not only in those things that they recorded through their lips and with their pens, but also the wonderful, wonderful experience with which they were able to show that they were on the Lord's side and the Lord was their keeper. He was their deliverer from many, many adversaries. Well, now, it's 8 o'clock. It's time they closed. My main purpose this evening was to ask the young people to consider the opening of your eyes, a simple prayer. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The Bible is full of testimony regarding the advantage of the people of God from the supposed advantage of the world in which their lot is cast. I hope you'll think about these things and remember that God works miracles today. He can open the eyes of young people as much as he did in Elisha's day. And no better way to walk through this world than under the guidance, protection and provision of the one true and living God. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £640, for which we are very thankful. And Mr. Woodhouse is unable to be with us next weekend through illness, but God willing, Mr. Hope is expected to preach on Friday evening, and there will be reading services next Lord's Day. And we hope to hold another prayer meeting on Monday the 23rd of March for the afflicted amongst us. Hymn 117. Awake, sweet gratitude, and sing the ascended Saviour's love. Sing how he lives to carry on his people's cause above. 117.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do follow with thy blessing the truth of thy precious word. Help our young people to remember. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Bless, we pray, with the openings of the eyes and the heart to seek wisdom from the days of youth. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion, fellowship, and teaching of God the Holy Ghost be with us now and forevermore. Amen.